You're listening to the Leading Second podcast, where we're on a mission to equip local churches everywhere to raise uncommon leaders. The Leading Second podcast releases every Thursday morning, and we never want you to miss an episode. So make sure you hit follow and stay up to date with all things Leading Second. Now, let's jump into another episode for all of us who lead from the middle, from the second chair, for the second chair. This is Leading Second.
Welcome to the Leading Second podcast. My name is Taylor Purcello, and I'm one of the team members here at Leading Second, and I am so glad that you've joined us today for our new mini-series, Summer Camp. It's going to be good. So for a lot of us church staff and teams, summer is a time, it's a time of rest and slowing down before the fall busyness comes, and our goal with Summer Camp is to create a space where you can come to be refreshed, come to be challenged as a leader, and just like Leading Second Camp this past March, we are going to speak directly to the heart of second chair leadership throughout this series. It's going to be awesome. So today's episode, it'll be a little different from our normal flow here with the podcast. We are going to dive into an incredible teaching from Pastor Josh Bingle from Genesis Church. And then we'll spend some time discussing how this impacts us as leaders in the middle and how we can practically implement these lessons in our leadership. So you could be listening today from the beach, driving in your car, working out at the gym, or on a flight to your next family vacation. So no matter where you're listening in from today, we encourage you to lean into today's episode. But before we jump in, we are so excited to announce a fresh initiative, new part of the Leading Second lineup, Leading Second Coaching Groups. We're launching a reimagined, immersive coaching experience this fall of 2022, and applications are now open on our website, and we are so excited, so honored for you to be joining us in this. So these groups, coaching groups, they are for you if you want to stretch your leadership capacity and gain tools for immediate application right where you're at in your ministry. If you want to develop personal leadership rhythms to help carry the weight of ministry with your pastors, coaching groups are for you. If you want to join a tribe or family of thriving, like-minded leaders and grow your network with other church leaders serving in similar roles, it's for you. So through these reimagined coaching groups, you will be empowered to lead and serve your church better and have a supporting network of leaders to help you run strong for the kingdom. They are for executive pastors, they're for campus pastors, or anyone who serves on your church's leadership team. And they're a one-year coaching group experience. And we have a new team of coaches, and they include, coaching groups also include an on-site retreat this winter that I promise you will not want to miss. It will be somewhere warm. And so we're just believing God is going to use these groups to sharpen executive leaders in the church. And as a reminder, applications are due by August 11th. That's coming up pretty quick. So head to our website, check out our Instagram, and consider applying. It really will not be the same without you. And we'd be so, so honored to have you a part of it all. Okay, so for today's episode, we are talking about rest. We're talking about caring for ourselves well, and we'll actually be kind of diving into the current model of what, you know, this cultural moment is calling self-care and what it looks like to stay healthy, you know, in this cultural moment versus maybe what the kingdom and what the Bible says about resting and taking care of ourselves well. So I'm so excited to have this conversation today with some fantastic individuals who lead from the second chair and are a part of our Leading Second tribe. So first of all, we have Lays Ritchie joining us from Coast Life Church in Venice, Florida. Lays, why don't you say what's up today?
What's up, Leading Second? I am so excited and honored to be with you all today. I know that this is going to be an incredible conversation that we get to have just to take back to our teams and our churches.
Yes, so good. Really quick, Lays, tell us what you do at Coast Life.
So I am our guest service director at Coast Life Church in sunny Venice, Florida, and I have the honor of serving under some of the most incredible pastors, Pastor Jason and Pastor Heidi Warman.
Love it. Thanks so much for being here today. We're also being joined by Pastor Jesse Rodriguez from Champion Center Yakima in Washington State. Pastor Jesse, say hey to everyone joining us today.
What up, Leading Second fam? So glad to be on. And of course, I am from Washington and you got Lays from Florida. So we are two complete polar opposites. Great weather year round, a little jealous, but and really excited. It's going to be a great conversation. So excited to be on the podcast today.
So great. Thanks for being here today. Okay, so let's jump in today to this discussion. It's going to be such a good one today. Let's jump into the conversation with Pastor Josh Bingle.
Luke chapter 24, verse 1 says this: on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb. So Jesus has been crucified. Saturday happens, Sunday morning. They're rolling up to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. Verse 2 says, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Shout out Easter Sunday, baby. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, so in the middle of being confused about why they didn't find Jesus, I love this. Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. They're just like, you know, head to toe, dazzling Gucci sitting there. And they asked them this question. They were frightened. And so they bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? This is one of my favorite questions in scripture. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Okay, why are we talking about self-care? Because we need leaders who are whole. And we need leaders who are healthy. And we need leaders who know how to take care of themselves. You will never effectively lead others until you diligently lead yourself. And God is going to ask you, God wants to use you, God wants to move through you, and God is going to continue to present you with opportunities through which you can lead others into wholeness and into fullness, but you have got to be able to take care of yourself. And there is a modern self-care movement that is, in a lot of ways, is a counterfeit to what actually taking care of yourself looks like. Selling all kinds of things to you. And so I love this question because it says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? We could ask ourselves the question like this: is it possible? Here's what I'm going to ask us to ponder tonight, because you're getting sold stuff about self-care on your Pinterest boards and on TikTok and in your Instagram feed about do you and take care of you and whatever you got left over, take care of other people. I want us to ask this question tonight. Because what I believe about you is you're looking for wholeness. You want to be whole. You want to be healthy. You want to be clear in your mind. But is it possible that you are looking for the right things in the wrong places? Is it possible that the desire in your heart, which is a good desire, a desire to be whole, a desire to be healthy, a desire to be a person of integrity, is it possible that all of that desire, is it possible you want to consider the fact that the enemy knows all of that desire on the inside of you to lead other people so well that he's presenting you with a counterfeit? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Is it possible that you're looking for living things among dead things? There's a question I want us to ponder tonight as we're talking about self-care. I'm taking care of it. Is it possible that you are looking, would you consider the fact that you might be looking for the right things in the wrong places, that you are looking for life among dead things, looking for life among things that could never deliver on what they promised to be able to deliver? I'm fascinated by people who talk about taking care of themselves. You should take care of yourself. But I wonder if you knew this, that you actually have two selves. I wonder if you stop to consider the fact that in addition to the self that you should be taking care of, you got this spirit man, you also have this flesh man on the inside of you, this flesh nature. You got two natures at war within you. It's important to understand theologically when we are talking about self-care, because you got two natures. So I want you to imagine you got your spirit man, your spirit nature, and then you got your flesh man, your flesh nature. The Greek word for flesh nature, that dead thing, that old man, the Greek word is sarx. That's a fun word. S-A-R-X. Sarks. And that kind of snaps at the end. Sarks. It's a fun word to say. And the Apostle Paul talks about this wrestle that he has between these two natures. And these two natures are at war within you always. And this war will not end until you are finally glorified on the day of judgment and that flesh man is put away for good. But you've got these two natures at war within you. And in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, he says things like, with my heart, I love the law of the Lord. With my heart, I love God's word. But with my flesh, I don't have the ability to carry it out. He's talking about these two natures. You've probably felt these two natures. In fact, I would almost guarantee you felt these two natures at war within you. The Apostle Paul continues, and he says things like, I know the things that I'm supposed to do, my spirit man, but I don't do them. He goes, I know the things that I'm not supposed to do, my flesh man, but I do those things. He says, I have found that when I take a step of obedience, I have found that when I move toward God, sin lies close at hand. I don't know if you ever felt that, like you felt like you took three steps forward in your walk with God and then two steps back. And then your self-talk starts to become, wow, what a backslider. Oh man, can you imagine if you really were sanctified? If you really were full of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't have taken those two steps back. Let me present to you the Apostle Paul, who wrote this, who wrote the book of Romans at the end of his life. He was not some young upstart church planter. He was on his way to Rome to be on trial for crimes against the empire. This is old man Paul at the end of his life. He's going to die soon after this. And at the end of his life, he's like, I've found that these two natures are at war within me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of death? That's what he says. It sounds like a dashboard confessional song, just weeping. You know, and you're a junior in high school and you're just crying, I got the worst. You listen to Dashboard. That's what Romans chapter 7 sounds like. Everything I know I'm supposed to do, I don't do it. Things that I'm not supposed to do, I keep doing those things. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of death? And then Romans chapter 8, verse 1, one of the most incredible scriptures in all of the Bible. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the conclusion he comes to. But these two natures at war within us, that's what I'm asking. When people say, I got to go take care of myself, my question will be, which self are you taking care of? And anything that the world is selling you that's telling you, you got to do you first, make sure you're taken care of. Because if you're not taken care of, then how can you take care of other people? True, but you should be suspicious of anything that points you to self before it points you to the cross. I'm going to say that again so you can write it down. Because there's all kinds of things that are selling themselves to you as self-care routines, self-care regimens. You should be suspicious of anything that points you to self before it points you to the cross. And what I did not say, notice, is you should be suspicious of anything that points you to self before it points you to Jesus. I specifically said the cross. Why? Because the cross was the ultimate place of self-denial. Self-care is not a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is. Christianity has not always been a religion of self-care. It's been a religion of self-denial. So when you say, I need a day for some self-care, here's a question you should ask. Which self am I talking about? Because I got a spirit self and I got a flesh self. And there is a whole industry that is built around playing on your fears and tricking you into taking care of the wrong self.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here. Man, where to even start? Man, there's so much gold here. We're really talking about self-care, taking care of ourselves, resting well. One thing I took away from that is that you cannot effectively lead others until you diligently lead yourself. So just to kind of frame it up for us here for the second chair, why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about resting well and pausing and taking care of ourselves? We need leaders who are healthy and whole, because we are leading other people into wholeness and into fullness. And so a massive part of leading ourselves well is caring for ourselves well. It really starts with ourselves, looking in the mirror. You know, we often say the hardest person to lead is the person in the mirror. The hardest person to take care of is the person in the mirror. So that's why we're talking about this today. We want to talk about embracing and keeping healthy rhythms of rest, because it's so critical to the life of a second chair leader. And it really is an area that we have to get right, because those that we lead and that we serve, they're counting on us to be at our very best as we run strong for the kingdom. And God wants us at our best too. Like that's the life that he has for us, a life of goodness and fullness and rest. So living tired, burned out lives, it's just not God's best for us. There's so much more for us than tired, you know, burnt out rhythms. And so there's a better way to lead. There's a better way to lead with stamina and run with endurance that does not involve burnout and throwing in the towel when the going gets tough. So I would love to turn this to you guys today, Pastor Jesse and Lays. Couple questions just to get us going today. How have you experienced the tension of looking for living things among the dead, or maybe looking for the right things in the wrong places? Lays, would you kick us off today?
Absolutely. So I think one, just as individuals, but most importantly as leaders, if we're all being honest, I think there are many times within our ministries that we're caught looking for living things among the dead. And one of the things that I had to learn really early on was that until Jesus is enough for us, there will be no one or any other thing that will be able to fill that. So I think as leaders, what Pastor Josh said was just so gold. We can't lead people if we can't lead ourselves. And if we're continuing to find the fulfillment in the wrong things, and we're just going to continue looking for the dead things. And I just think that what we have is a misunderstanding of our purpose of work, a misunderstanding of our hopes and our goals. I think even just in ministry, are we just looking at metrics? Are we just looking at results as leaders? What is driving us? What is keeping us in that tension? And what can we do to get out of it? So how do we get to a healthy place that is aligned with kingdom perspective?
Good. I love that. Pastor Jesse, what do you think about this one?
Of course, I got to be honest. It's absolutely, the tension is constantly, consistently there. If someone can tell us that there's not that tension, then I would love to meet you. Tell us the secret. One of the things I think about, even just to kind of take it a different route, when it talks about the living and then among the dead and among the living, when I think about it this way, there's so much attention drawn in from things that are not living. There's dead places, and those places are easy to gravitate towards. It doesn't take much of your energy. It will lead you. It will guide you. It will gravitate you. Anything worth doing is going to take a lot of work. Just a great example, fun example here for a lot of us, waking up early. No. I don't want to wake up early. If we were to say, I'm going to put my alarm clock an hour early to wake up, to spend time with God, which is great things to do, or to even just get up early to hit the gym, waking up an hour early is going to take some effort. But if you're saying, I'm going to sleep in for another extra hour, that's an easy thing to do. And so I think it's so vital right now with the self-care thing. It's hard. People are like, I don't want to put that much effort. I want to do what's easy. And in leadership, we don't do things that are easy. We do things that are hard in order to lead forward. So it's so easy to gravitate towards self-care that's not really taking care of the right self, like Pastor Josh would say. It's so much easier to take care of self when it's easy to do.
Yeah, that's great. That kind of leads me to another question I had. I mean, how are we seeing this self-care model in culture right now being sold to us in this cultural moment? You know, you hear things like, you know, got to get home and get my bubble bath going and my face mask and my candles, and, you know, all those things are great, but I mean, that's kind of looking for like the right thing, maybe in the wrong places. And so let's talk about this cultural moment, the self-care model, and maybe why it can be dangerous if we kind of fall into this self-care like phenomenon we're seeing like on TikTok, social media. Why is this so dangerous?
So I think the self-care model that is being played out, one, it's saying it's grounded basically on the assumption that the power of healing and rest lies within ourselves. Essentially that we have the power to care for ourselves. And that's not a kingdom perspective at all, because Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And then in Philippians 4:6-7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And there's a huge problem with this self-care model is that it attempts to address unfulfillment, exhaustion from caring for others, from work, a lack of connection, lack of purpose. It tries to address all of these things, all which could be answered with the gospel, but it tries to answer it without the gospel. And I think this can be extremely dangerous, because then we start to rely on ourselves and we start to think that we don't need Jesus. But Jesus, he's the one that ultimately has won the victory. So we can experience eternal life and peace when we find our true rest on the source, and that's Jesus. And I think as leaders, we constantly have to ask ourselves, what do we need self-care from? You know, I think so many times we're feeling the weight and the burden, and I've learned in my years that it's because I think it's up to me to do it all. It's up to me to lead people. It's up to me to make the vision come through. It's up to me to meet the metrics, to meet the numbers, when ultimately it's not up to any of us individually. It's up to God, and we just get to be pieces. We get to make ourselves available, and having that understanding, I think one will help us understand this self-care model, that we're not carrying all that weight to constantly need an escape, but we're relying on God. And as we do that, we're able to minister, we're able to lead strong, we're able to lead ourselves, but we're also able to be in a place of fulfillment, of purpose, of connection, and just have the heart to continue to serve others.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. One thing Pastor Josh mentions in that segment was the difference between our two selves, our flesh, which is our sarx, you know, S-A-R-X, and then our spirit self. So, you know, our flesh man, so to speak, and our spirit man. And you think of the self-care model being sold to us right here, you know, it currently is so much of it can often be, not always, but often be really pointing to feeding that flesh, you know, feeding that sarx, that fleshly desire. You know, why is it that I want to do all of these things? You know, is it because my body is craving it? Or, you know, because I feel like it'll fill some side of my flesh. And so distinguishing between, how do you know if it's feeding your flesh, you know, and feeding your spirit. And even I love how he points out in Romans 7, Paul says, "With my heart, I love God's law and his word. With my flesh, I do not have the ability to carry it out." And how much of us, you know, how many of us experience and feel this tension, like on the daily sometimes? Like, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what my spirit self, you know, is supposed to be doing, but I don't do them. I don't get up early. You know, I don't pray. I don't have these rhythms. I know what I'm not supposed to do, that sarx, that flesh side, but I do that anyway. It's this tension of living between, you know, choosing to feed my spirit and not to feed my flesh, that sarx side. So Pastor Jesse, do you have anything to add on to that question today?
Yeah. And even just to add on, I just think with it, we're talking about, and you already kind of distinguished it, about the flesh and the spirit self. And what you need to realize, there's two different fuel sources for those things. We've already talked about, we joked around candle, bubble bath, watching a good movie, relaxing.
Yeah.
Like, that may be relaxing, but that's taking care of the flesh self, like our body self, our external self. But what about the spirit self? The spirit only gets its energy, its refreshment from Jesus on our time with him.
Yeah.
And so I think, well, I'm not no mechanic. I am not a mechanic by no nature, but I just thought about it this way, that there's gasoline cars or gasoline engines, and there's diesel engines. And you can't put diesel fluid into a gasoline engine, or you can't put gasoline into a diesel engine. What will happen is the engine will eventually mess up. Not for the long haul. It's not meant to be that way. And what we try to do as Christians, in a self-care of a fleshly way, we're trying to fuel ourselves with the wrong stuff, and it's not going to work long time. And so I think, in that's what the whole self-care is doing right now. It is feeding the flesh, but not filling the spirit, which we need daily, that guides us, that leads us. And we got to make sure we have the right fuel source. And that only comes from our relationship with him.
Good. That's so good. That's great. Yeah, I love here. He talked about, you know, being suspicious of anything that leads you to self before it leads you to the cross, and distinguishing, Pastor Josh distinguishing here, you know, there's a reason he said leads you to the cross and not to Jesus, because the cross was the ultimate, you know, sign of self-denial, of sacrifice. So, I mean, what are some warning signs or maybe, or things to be aware of to help discern, you know, when maybe you're being led to self rather than being led to the cross? How do you know when you're in those moments? Pastor Jesse, what do you think?
I think in it, kind of alluding back to what I had said, the hard thing to do, anything worth doing is hard to do. But I'm even thinking a lot of times when I'm trying to fulfill self, I have to convince myself in my own mind, well, you know what? I deserve this. I really need it. And I think in it, in our spirit self, there are things with the Holy Spirit prompting and leading us and knowing that this is what I should do. But the self-care of flesh is more going, well, maybe just this one time. Maybe I can just take a break today. Maybe I don't need to wake up early this morning. Maybe I can skip my Bible. It's us convincing ourselves of the actions that we are taking in order to convince ourselves that, you know, it's just okay. I think that is a huge, huge indicator when we're dealing more with taking care of our own fleshly self and not taking care of our spirit self. We have to convince ourselves of our actions and tell people, well, no, it's just this reason why I really need it. Well, you shouldn't have to convince yourself if you're doing things for the spirit. And so I think that's a big indicator when you have to continually have this ongoing conversation in your mind, convincing yourself of your actions, you might be going down a path that is not taking care of the right self.
Yeah, that's good. And almost you get to a point where those small little excuses, they start to build on each other. And then all of a sudden you've got habits, those little excuses like, okay, I'll read my Bible later. And then you get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of the day, the whirlwind. And then you don't, you lay down, you're like, oh shoot, I didn't read my Bible today. Okay, I'll do it tomorrow. I'm so tired. And so those little excuses, they start to build. And all of a sudden you have habits, and then those habits start to define you, and you start to live according to your habits. So that's why, you know, so crucial to even remember, like, self-care is not a fruit of the spirit. Self-control is.
Yep.
So constantly going back to, how am I walking and how am I living with self-control today?
I love that, Taylor. And I love that sometimes for me, a good indicator is some of the things that lead to self are super artificial or materialistic. I need to go get my nails done. I need to go to the spa. I need to go on this vacation. And it's not saying that any of those things are wrong, but if that's what you're looking for fulfillment, where sometimes it's so simple, you know, I don't need a week and away. I need 10 minutes in the morning with in the presence of God. I need to bring my worries to his feet. So I think, you know, I think of like what we see on social media. You could be scrolling. You'll never see something like, hey, are you tired? Do you need to get away, read your Bible for 10 minutes? But no, they show you this idea, like go buy this item or go.
Yeah.
We're trying to find purpose in all these activities, all these events, all these items, when really we have it at the tip of our fingers. We actually don't really need to go far for self-care, because God, he's easily available to each of us.
Good. That's so great. Yes. So let's jump in really fast to the last segment here. Pastor Josh has some pretty great takeaways for us, some kind of practical tools that we can implement into our rhythms as leaders. So let's lean into this.
Verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. You know what a lot of us probably would have done? I had a long day. I'm sleeping in. But maybe Jesus knew something about taking care of it that we take for granted. 29 times in the New Testament, there are examples of Jesus stealing away to a desolate place to pray, to take care of it. He was taking care of it, taking care of his spirit, and also taking care of it. That's what prayer life does for you. is it helps you bring your flesh into submission, but it's also the place where the Holy Spirit brings revelation and he refreshes you and he fills you. You know what scripture says? That those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So there's a brand of self-care that tells you, unless you take care of yourself first, you can't take care of other people. And I would say yes, but the question is, which self are you taking care of? Because there's also this paradoxical thing in the kingdom that when I'm pouring myself out to others, I am also being refreshed. It's a mind-boggling. And here's what Jesus did. Early on in the morning, he went out while it was still dark. He departed and went out to a desolate place. And there, he took a spa day. There, he jumped on the Xbox. There, he filled his Amazon cart again. There, he prayed. What are we after in this text? How can I know if it's self-care? Check this. Or if I'm taking care of the right self. I love this. Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Remember, we're still in Mark chapter 1. They wake up. They're like, where's Jesus? They don't know that it's his routine to wake up every morning and pray. Doesn't matter how long his day was. Why? Because he's taking care of it. He's taking care of it, and he's taking care of it. They didn't know yet. They weren't used to his routine. So they're looking around. They found him and they said to him, everyone is looking for you. Man, that, I don't know if that stresses you out or not, but it's like everyone is looking for you. You're like, I know that life. Everybody's always needing something from Renata. Everybody's always needing something. Everyone's always needing something from Noel. I'm always pouring myself out. And the minute you get a second away, somebody comes and finds you. He's like, everybody's looking for you. We need something from you. And here's what Jesus didn't say. No, no. Tuesdays are my meeting days. Thursdays are the days that I heal people. Fridays are the days I cast out demons. Saturdays are my me day. Listen, I'm not against golf trips. I'm not against self-care. I'm not against a me day. I'm not against having a healthy schedule. But here's what Jesus says. This is incredible. They go, everyone is looking for you. Jesus has just had an insanely long day, and he finally gets some time to himself, and they come and find him and go, responsibility is waiting for you. And here's what Jesus says. I need a personal day. No, here's what he says. Let's go on to the next town that I might preach there also. For that is why I came out here. Somebody better take a Pentecostal lap. Here's what Jesus said. They said, everybody needs you. And he goes, I know they do. That's why I came out here. Here's a question you can ask yourself and an indicator to know. Which self am I taking care of? Are you taking care of yourself to escape your responsibility? Are you stealing away to the golf course to escape your responsibility? Are you stealing away to the girls' trip to escape all the responsibility of your life? Or are you doing that thing to refresh yourself so you can re-enter your responsibility, the best version of yourself? Am I doing it to escape or am I doing it to re-enter? Because those are wildly different. When you get back from the golf course, is the first thing you think about, I'm so glad I went to the golf course because now I feel fresh for my kids and I feel fresh for my wife and I feel fresh for my job? Or when you get back home, are you already dreaming about the next trip to the golf course? Because if so, it might just be escapism and not self-care. It might be something that is being sold to you as self-care, but really what it is a virtuous veneer on escapism. Here's what Jesus said. They said, Jesus, everybody needs you. And he was like, I know. Oh, I'm gonna cry. He was like, I know. That's why I came out here. Because I needed to take care of it. Because I got people who are depending on me. And I got people who are waiting for me. And I need people who, I got people who need me to be the best version of myself. And so I came out here early to take care of it. I came out here to take care of it. And I came out here to take care of it. Jesus, what are you doing out here? Oh, I'm taking care of it. Everybody needs you. He goes, I know. Let's go. Let's go to the next town and preach. That's why I came out here. It's a question you could ask yourself. How can I know? Because whichever one of yourself you're feeding is going to grow. I promise you. How can I know? Is that activity that I have to care for myself, if I'm honest with myself, is it escapism? Is it just my favorite socially sanctioned way to escape my responsibility? Or do I go do that thing to replenish myself with the intent of re-entering the responsibility that God has placed in my life, right? Because they're both self-care. The question is, which self are you caring for?
All right. I mean, that was so great. One thing I love and took away from this is that really Jesus here, he's giving us the perfect model to follow. Yeah. It's coming from Mark 1:35. Right after Jesus spent the whole day healing people, he heals Peter's mother-in-law. He's performing all of these miracles. I can imagine it's like a 14, 15-hour day. He's exhausted. I mean, it's talking about late into the evening. He's performing miracles and caring for the sick. I'm assuming he sleeps. You know, scripture doesn't explicitly tell us that he sleeps, but it does say he rose. So from that, we can say, okay, maybe he went to sleep. He got some rest, but then he rose early in the morning. He went to a desolate place by himself and he prayed. We see here, he spent time in solitude and in communion with the Father right away. So he's getting up early, like we talked about earlier on in the episode. He's making that choice, you know, beating the sun, getting up early. And we see in scripture that as he's having this time, people come to him, they find him, and they say, Master, we need you. People need you. They need healing. And so you see here, Jesus, his attitude, I love this. He's not crispy. He's not angry. He's not frustrated, not begrudgingly like getting up and following them, but with a willingness in his spirit. And he's eager. He's willing and he's eager to carry on in his mission. He's like, gets up from his prayer time. He's like, okay, let's go. We got people to heal. People need us. So he carries on his mission because he knew that there were people who needed him to be at his best. There were people that needed him to be led into wholeness, to lead them into wholeness. So a couple things I see here. Getting up early. I mean, I think that comes back to dying to self, that self-control, like saying no to the flesh, getting up early. I mean, involved in that too is maybe get some good nighttime rhythms. Like if you're up until midnight binge watching Netflix, like getting up at 5 a.m. is going to be really hard. So maybe reevaluate, like, what are your habits? What are your rhythms at night as well? And then of course, praying, like getting into that secret space with the Father, somewhere quiet. It said that he went to a desolate place. He was alone. He had that solitude in his rhythm. And then, gosh, this piece here, I really want to touch on the difference between re-entering versus escapism. You know, we're talking about escaping something to avoid stress and to avoid tension, avoid frustration. Or are you coming back from that activity refreshed and fueled up? Are you re-entering your work with passion, with zeal, with intent to keep carrying on the mission, to keep moving forward, to get better, to have courage? Or are you having, you know, those thoughts that come into your mind when you get back into the office? Are you just dreaming about, you know, when you can get back to the golf course? Or are you thinking about when you can get back to the campground? Like, what are you thinking about when you re-enter that that might help give you some framework. Okay, maybe I need to readjust about, you know, readjust my thoughts and my approach on how I'm seeing rest here, and reentering responsibilities, wanting to come back in with more fuel in the tank, more zeal, more excitement. It's all about really, you know, how are you reentering? Are you reentering with excitement, or are you maybe trying to escape a little bit? What do you guys think?
So Neiman, just to add, Taylor, to what you're saying, which is all great things, and want to kind of go a little bit more just on the practical side really quick, because I know for every single person, all of us, wherever we're planning a church or listening to podcasts throughout a week or reading a good book, there's a lot of great things that we take in, but we got to have the practical. And the great thing that I think we have is such a great advantage as believers right now, because we have the model for what you have of how you should take care of yourself through Jesus. But we also have an advantage for the fact that ain't none of us as busy as Jesus. The demands that he had, mm-hmm. he never knew what was going to happen the next day. And the reason that I say that is with our jobs and our schedule, we might be full-time ministry, bivocational, might just be a volunteer. What happens in that moment, you kind of know what your week will look like or what your month may look like, when it's going to be busier or not busier. And so the reason that I say that is when Jesus would enter into things, he never knew what was going to face him that day. And we may have some surprises, but by saying that, when we know our schedule, we can learn how to manage our time with him. So if it's going to be a busier season, okay, what do I have to adjust? I still need to pray. I still need to have some solitude. I still need to have some time alone. But knowing what's coming ahead on my schedule, you can plan how to make adjustments for the seasons that you're in. That's an unfair advantage that we have that we got to utilize, is going, man, I know what's coming down the pipe and what's coming down the pipeline. I know how to adjust my schedule. Why? I'm not removing my time with Jesus. I'm going to make sure I keep my time with him, but it may look a little different in this season due to what's going on.
That's so good, Pastor Jesse. And I love how practical that was. And I'm just going to go back to getting up early. I think we've said that a few times, but that is just something that's so simple that we can all take home today. If you have kids, you know, I notice my mornings when I wake up late, I rush my kids, and my kids have no concept of time. Most children don't. They're just learning that. So we want them to rush because we're late. So then we're rushing them. We're yelling in the morning. We're driving to work. Hopefully I ain't speeding on the way there, but we're going faster than we should. We're already feeling anxious. You know, you're walking into a meeting. You're not prepped. And there's just something so simple about giving yourself an extra 20 or 30 minutes. Wake up, get in the word, but then you have time with your family in the morning. You've got time to get your schedule ready so that when you go ready to take on the day, you're not going like already out of breath. You're actually just ready to start. I think sometimes we start our day as if we're ready to finish it. And really, we need to be going in our day like that was just our warm up. And that I've seen that that's been huge, not only just with me as someone who goes to work, who's in ministry, who has kids, but also for my family. I'm a lot nicer in the morning. My kids are a lot happier because I'm not trying to rush them to get out of bed. I'm kind of giving them time to process, to wake up. And it really just makes our whole morning smoother so that we're ready for the day and we're not just ready for the day to be over.
Yeah, that's great. Just like we talked about earlier, you know, after Jesus was praying and spent that time, people immediately came to him and said, Father, you know, we need you. And just like that, you know, little kids, Mom, we need you. Dad, we need you, right? So that model that Jesus gives us, I mean, we can just apply it like in parenthood and leadership and friendship and, you know, being a part of a family. And so, what a great model and, you know, picture that we see in the life of Jesus. So we're talking about like escaping versus re-entering, you know, and when you have those moments of self-care and taking care of yourself, you know, when you go to the golf course, you go to the spa, you know, which self are you feeding? Because whatever you feed is going, it's going to grow.
Yeah.
So how do we know, you know, when we might be like, how do we feed the right self? How do we feed our spirit? You know, other than like, say, you know, we wake up early, spend time with Jesus, but how can those moments of like at the golf course or at the spa, like how can those also be used to replenish us and not our flesh? That makes sense. Because what we don't want to do is we don't want to say, okay, this is bad. Don't go to the spa. Mm-hmm. Don't go golfing. Maybe speak into that if you can today.
Yeah, I think it's just understanding or knowing what the root is. So why are you looking for a weekend away? I remember, so my husband, Dylan, he's our ministry director. When we first started ministry, we were new to all of it. And I remember we were almost counting down the days to be away. And it was almost like we've taken for granted what God has blessed us with. And it was people we were looking to escape. We wanted to go away for 3 days where no one would bother us, where we wouldn't have to minister to people, where we wouldn't have to worry if the connect cards were turned in. We were literally just escaping our everyday responsibility. And we were actually at times, we weren't getting the right care because we were going in with the wrong intention. We were going in thinking, okay, we're going to pause. And when we get back, everything would be fine. But really what we were doing is we were actually dreading going back because we knew what we left on Friday was going to be there Monday. So we really had to switch our mindset. And what we do is now we just know, like, we are going, man, what an honor it is that we get to do what we do. So we're going to go to spend time with the Lord, to spend time on our marriage, to spend time with our family, so that when we come back, we can serve the people that God has sent us better than we were when we left.
So great. Not even with it too. I think it's perfect timing. So I am one that loves to go 100 miles per hour, and I don't like to take breaks because I want to accomplish, accomplish, accomplish. And just a few weeks ago, me and my wife and our fam went on vacation, and she had to be the one to go, we're going on vacation. And I kid you not, we had kiddos with us, a 2.5-year-old and a 7-month-year-old, so we didn't get much sleep.
That's watching your kids somewhere else.
Absolutely. But it took me away from my norm. And I kid you not, having that ability to get away with the family, I was also taking care of family because family is so important, my ministry with my family. But even coming back, with it allowed me to have such an excitement, such a joy. Go, I can't wait to be back on Sunday. I can't wait to be back. And it gave me fresh new eyes. It gave me a fresh new perspective, gave me a fresh view on it. And that's what I think you were saying, where ladies, you're going, when you came back, oh no, we're coming back to busy. I was like, I can't wait to get back into it. Good. And that's when you know the self is the right way. Mm-hmm. If you're coming back disgruntled and going, I got to do this, I got to do that, oh no, I got to have this meeting, then you're not coming back and you're not becoming refreshed. You're not able to re-enter. And when I came back, even with the lack of sleep with kiddos, I was ready to re-enter my responsibility, not just as a dad, but also as a location pastor, as a leader, as someone people look up to. And I was able to re-enter the things that I had in front of me coming back.
That's right. And I think even when we think of, it just goes back to kind of what we've been talking about when we're talking about self-care. Why do we need the self-care? So what is causing us to want to get away? What is causing us to need to be gone every 2 weekends because we can't do it anymore? And I think that kind of gets overlooked when we talked about self-care, because there's so many practical things that we can do to care for ourselves, to care for our families, our teams, but we also need to find what the root is. So why are we dreading going, you know, why are we dreading being at church for the week? And why are we dreading? What is causing that? And what I learned early on, it was because I was not enough. I was carrying the weight thinking that it was up to me to make it all happen, not thinking of the other hundreds of serve team members that I get to serve along with, not thinking of God. You know, I was putting the weight like, Lays, you're God, you're going to make this happen, which I was just getting deprived because I was striving for something I was never going to reach. I was striving for perfection. And I just learned early on that we just need to strive to be more like Jesus. We're never going to get it right, but we can't always feel like we're coming up short. And we have to actually enjoy what we get to do, because when we start to forget the small things, the small wins, whether it's praying for someone in the courtyard, whether it's watching someone raise their hand during a service, then that's when we start to get unfulfilled and we take for granted what we get to do. So we're just looking for our next escape instead of, oh man, I'm so excited for what God is doing here. Like, I can't wait to come back. Like Pastor Jesse said, better. I think when we were gone this past earlier on in the summer, we went away, we had FOMO. I was like on my phone. I'm like, man, I can't wait to be back at church. And that was, you know, I was listening to Pastor Josh's message and I was like, oh my goodness, like so much growth when you just switch your perspective on what that self-care model looks like.
Yeah, that's great. And back to the practical steps that we chatted about a little bit earlier, the prayer life, getting up early in the morning and praying. Pastor Josh said something in the content here, a prayer life helps you bring your flesh into submission, and where the Holy Spirit brings revelation and refreshes you and fills you. And even praying prayers like the Lord's Prayer says, Father, give me my daily bread. Like, we're not supposed to pray, Father, give me bread for the week. Give me what I need for my year. Give me what I need for the season. Father, give me what I need for today. And praying that every single day, like bringing that fresh revelation and that fresh filling, that fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's why we keep talking about, okay, morning, starting your day in the morning, because it just refreshes you and it fills you up. Like what you were talking about earlier, Pastor Jesse, with the fuel, you're getting the right fuel in your tank and you're not starting from an empty tank. You're starting filled up with the right thing. Well, Pastor Jesse and Lays, thank you guys so much for joining us today and contributing to the conversation. Really appreciate you all and appreciate having you on the podcast today.
So grateful to be on and so grateful for this podcast. It is so needed, so vital, so necessary. So honored with the opportunity to be on today.
You know, I love the opportunities that we get with Leading Second. I just always leave with so much more than what I added. So thank you for having this conversation and just thank you for our time together.
Love it. Well, hey, we are hoping that you found today's conversation valuable, and we're praying that you are leaving today with something that you can implement practically in your own journey as a leader, in all of the areas and all of the ways that you lead. Leading Second, we want to wish you all a fun and full summer as you continue to run with endurance and keep moving forward and building God's kingdom. Thanks for tuning in today.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you got anything valuable out of today's episode, share it with your team or a friend in ministry, because that's what Leading Second is all about. For more information, check out leadingsecond.com, follow us on Instagram @LeadingSecond, and join us on the Leading Second Collective on Facebook.